says in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Whenever we had the farewell 3 years ago, it was something that I suppose I kind of feared a little bit. I would have liked to have just got on the plane and, you know, not let anybody know that we were going, but it doesn't work that way. And whenever we had the farewell, to see so many people in and supporting you and just in love sending you forth was really encouraging. And it's something you don't forget. And while I don't like to be in the spotlight, it is really something you can look back to and just thank the Lord for. When I arrived in Entebbe, I guess the first thing that hits you is the heat. And then I think Noreen gave me a big hug to welcome me. And I really think the biggest encouragement was Noreen picking me up. I didn't feel like I was arriving and trying to solve everything myself, where to go, how to get there. And it just felt like you're fitting into a team. And that was really the nicest part of arriving there. There was nothing really that surprised me initially. I did get that opportunity to go out to the work with one of the early solar install teams, but I didn't mind arriving and seeing lots of work. I kind of relished the challenge. In some ways it was just about sitting down even with Noreen and working out what are we going to do first. And then it was just a matter of writing down on a piece of paper X, Y, Z, and just getting on with it. And that to me actually didn't stress me out at all. Probably more sometimes the speaking things or, you know, being pushed up in front of hundreds and hundreds of people maybe was a bit more daunting for me, but the Lord gives you help in all things. In Uganda, I don't feel unsafe whatsoever. I really feel very comfortable there, especially the more you get to know the people. I don't really have any issues that way. We do have the big compound with the big walls, but if we didn't have the walls, it wouldn't bother me. I did go out single. Now I'm married and a baby on the way. Again, much to be thankful to the Lord for. I had met Hannah before I went. We knew that we would get married and that she would come with me. But she had to finish some of her studies before she was able to come. And so after about 1 year on the field, I came back to the Netherlands to marry Hannah. And then we had to come home briefly for 2 weeks just here to sort a few things out. And then we went back to the field together. So yeah, it's been a challenging time for both of us, but we wouldn't regret any of it. Hannah has been a real encouragement and even a help in many ways, especially when it comes to speaking things and just having someone to bounce ideas off and to share things with as well. Sometimes it feels like eat, work and sleep, and so to have someone else to spend that time with and to live with and to serve the Lord with, it really is important for us.
Thank you.
While we are working with orphans and vulnerable children, it still is our desire to teach the young people to the greatest standard that we can. And that means that we do have to upgrade our facilities and meet the requirements that are there from local government. And we have had inspectors in, and they have requested that we update the site or do certain things practically. So the last 3 years we have been trying to upgrade certain facilities like the toilet block, or sort out some of the electrical things, or even just to simply put in pathways or update the kitchen and things like that. It sounds funny, but the first thing we did actually when I arrived in Uganda was develop a workshop. We needed somewhere to work from, to put tools in, keep the place safe. And so we converted an old cow barn and put a new concrete floor in it, got some electrics into it. And from there, it's, I suppose, just developed over the years as we put shelving in and filled it up with either materials or tools or whatever it is we need for doing the work in Uganda. One of the biggest things that we had to do for the local government at the school was to update the toilet facilities. And it was quite a big undertaking with about 300-400 people on site. We had to build something quite substantial. And so we ended up digging away down into the ground over 5 metres and creating about a 90,000 litre tank for the sewage. And there was a team who came out to help with that, and it was really important that they came. It really helped us and encouraged us, and it was great for camaraderie sense as well. And they had to work very hard, the blocks were very heavy, and we had to solve many problems as well because it was so far down, and we just don't have the facilities or the tools that we might have here to make those things easier. But they worked very hard, we got the job done, and they even came back a year or so later to help us finish it off. And that was probably one of the highlights of the 3 years, just to work with the team from home, those who love the Lord and really want to see the Lord's work progress for His great name's sake. When I arrived, one of the first things that we did was renovate the old kitchen. Salonga, the cook, worked in terrible conditions, really. It was a room full of smoke. Whenever you went in, after a couple of seconds, your eyes started to burn and it was struggled to breathe. And so he was cooking over really a couple of open fires inside a decent-sized room, and the pots were just sitting on top of the fire. So the place was completely black, and it was decided that we should really update those facilities and just completely renovate the place. The roof was completely warped and actually almost falling in because of the heat. The place was as black as your boot, and we had to chip the walls back just to try and replaster it so that we didn't have all that black. It just wasn't something you could work with or paint over. And we even had a famous tiler from Northern Ireland, the Reverend Johnny Crane. He was helping us tile and move things and renovate the kitchen, and it was a really encouraging time to see him help us out and just get stuck in. The kitchen now has a new roof, 4 stoves, tiled floor, somewhere for the chef to cut things and get the food ready. I'm pleased that we were able to do that, and the thing looks completely different now, and he really enjoys working in there, which is great. And it's ventilated too, so no more choking on the smoke. The water harvesting project was a big one, one that we really enjoyed. Previously, there was some guttering there and they were trying to collect some water, but really it wasn't maximising the potential that we had. And so we want to thank the churches, those that helped sponsor new tanks, and for those that even come out and helped me put the new guttering up. And now we collect an awful lot of water. We have maybe 8 tanks on site now, and it's just a massive difference. And I hope the children will use it wisely, and it'll help support the water well that we have as well on site. Thank you. things the inspectors asked us to do was to build an incinerator. Originally, all the rubbish and waste on site was just been thrown into a hole in the ground, and so we decided that we would get something built that would burn all the rubbish of site that we needed to get rid of, basically. And it was a project that I enjoyed, and some of the children even helped me with it, which was really nice. The incinerator design actually was my own, and before the roof and the chimney went on, some of the children thought I was building a sweetie shop. That was really fun at the time, and then whenever it was finished, people thought it was going to be a pizza oven. So yeah, there was lots of speculation of what it was going to be, but yeah, now it has a great purpose and the children love throwing things into it. As the school continues to grow, we do need more space, and one of the things that the mission board came up with was to buy a container, and so we have renovated one there recently. With the container arriving and it being a 40-foot one, we had to widen the driveway, so that was an interesting challenge. The container arrived bare shell late one night, actually, maybe 11 o'clock at night, and then we had to get it onto the foot pads that we had made for it. And from there, really, it was a matter of cutting windows and doors into it, putting the floor in, getting it all painted up, sealing into it with gypsum, and then we made some shelving for it, something that would mean that we didn't have to put walls into it to divide it up, but would give us flexibility even for the future if we needed it for a different purpose. It is now four offices. It will look after Hannah and Noreen and the two head teachers that we have on site. And as the school grows, we need to develop and expand and solve some of the logistic problems that we do have there at school. The electrics has been a big project, really, in the last year or so. I'm really thankful for the team that's come over and provided their expertise. The solar had its use. It was very, very valuable to us. We couldn't have survived without it, but it doesn't last forever, and it doesn't help us do everything that we might want or need to do at the school. And so as the electric went by the school, it was decided and agreed that that would come in, and so we have a new transformer, and we have had a team over from Northern Ireland helping us get the whole school rewired and getting it up to spec, I guess. And so, yeah, it's still not finished, but it will be soon, and it'll be a tremendous benefit once it is. Looking after a school, I guess, means that there is quite a bit more maintenance than maybe you would have at home for your personal home. And so there are lots of little things that we have to do to just keep it maintained and work in working order, really. And so, yeah, you have the little projects that just take up time. Sometimes you have to get things made. Sometimes you have to go and buy something, but maybe it's not there, so you have to make it yourself. So it's always a challenge, but something that we just enjoy as well and just roll with whatever we face each and every day. So outside of all the work that we were doing for the school, we also had to, I guess, make somewhere for us to live as missionaries. Originally, when I first went there, it was just a room. There was no toilet, no bathroom, no kitchen or anything like that. So before Hannah arrived, I wanted something a bit nicer. And so we took a section close to the top of the school site and turned what was six small rooms into a one-bedroom apartment. And then when Noreen was home on furlough, we did the same thing for her next door. Really appreciate the support from home that allowed us to purchase the new vehicle for Uganda. It has been a tremendous encouragement and a blessing, and especially with the rough roads that we have, we're always maintaining the old vehicle, especially at this time. And yeah, the new one just allows us to have that flexibility to either go shopping with it or to lift materials or lift supplies for the school if we need it. And yeah, we just thank everyone for their support. It really is a tremendous blessing. It has been a real encouragement to me to have a wife on site that is really from a missionary background, but one who has a great desire and a love to serve the Lord as well, and is looking after the orphan and vulnerable children program on site.
I was born in the Netherlands, but my parents were missionaries, so after a few months we went to the mission field as a family, and we traveled to different parts of the world for the first 9 years of my life. Then we came back to the Netherlands and settled there. I studied international development studies at the university in the Netherlands. After the first year, I went to England for Bible college and I met Andrew there. After Bible college that first year, at the end of that year, we started dating, and I went back to the Netherlands for the last 2 years of my studies. And after those 2 years, I joined him in Uganda. Whenever I first came out, we weren't quite sure, you know, what I was going to be doing. And at that time, Noreen was on furlough, so I was able to help with a few of the things in the office that needed help with. And slowly from there, things started to expand, and it was just a very good way of settling in and having something to do and getting to know the people, because you keep seeing them in the office. And from there, I've done different things with the children. We do a weekly craft night with some of the older girls, and it's lovely to be able to get to know a smaller group, because 350 children, or almost now 400 children, can be very overwhelming. So it's nice to be able to give those girls some extra time and attention and to get to know them on a more personal level. A requirement for the registration of the school was that a social worker be hired. So about a year ago, the social worker was hired, and because of my background, I started working with him, and he went to all the different households, almost 200 households, and he visited them and assessed them to see what are their living situations and home circumstances for all of the children at the school, and see who needed help with fees and who were able to pay their fees for themselves. It's encouraging to be able to put to use my training on the mission field, especially in the Orphans and Vulnerable Children program. So the OVC program entails that a few of the most needy families and most vulnerable families from the school are helped with a small program to get them to a stage where they are more self-sustainable. They get a little bit of seed and some of the more practical things that they need to get started on their own land to help them to farm, and from that first season of what we've given them, they're supposed to then be able to keep enough seed to replant again the next time. And we keep a close eye on them to make sure that they stick to all of the things, so that we hope that they will be able to be more self-sustainable, and that they could even support their children more in the school and make a better life for themselves. Piece of land next to the school has been used a little bit for a garden project with the children, to get them involved, to teach them a work ethic, but also to help improve their diet with more vegetables, although this is quite a challenging thing to do for such a large amount of children. And but we've really enjoyed that, and children enjoyed it. They loved harvesting, especially the fruits of their labor, so that was very nice to see.
whenever we go back, one of the big things that we really need to do is learn language. Everywhere we go, we almost need an interpreter. While there are those maybe in the city who can speak English, for the greater majority of people that we meet, their English is maybe non-existent or it's very poor. So, we use an interpreter in the church services, in Sunday school, out in evangelism. It's a big thing for us to learn, challenge ahead of us, but it's something that we really want to do. And that's something we would appreciate your prayers for. Initially, we started learning language by going down to a school. And whenever we were there, you would spend most of the day running through certain things, maybe like greetings, and then practicing them. Now things have moved on somewhat, and actually the school teacher comes to us. And so once every so often, she will come and give us new things to do, learn, practice, and practice, and practice.
It is barking or it barks? Tolide.
Dide. Mugati. Ne.
Mugati. Ne.
Enya.
A lot of what we've done initially in Uganda has been practical, but we are very much at the beginning of this work in Uganda, and I do see very much taking a greater involvement in the speaking aspect of the work, in what some might call the more spiritual side. We have been doing that pre-evangelism work, the important work, but as there is now a vacancy in the pulpit, and as we are starting to learn language and get to know people better, there is that greater opportunity to speak to the children, but also to go out into the community. And it is our burden and our desire to see the church full, to have people in under the sound of the gospel who will hear the truth, accept it, and then seek to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know who the Lord has planned maybe to send along and help us as a team in Uganda, but I look forward to taking on whatever the Lord does have for us there as we develop this work. And it is a challenge. It is something that maybe I am a little scared of, but it is not something that we will ignore. It is something that we will, with the Lord's help, rise to. And I trust that the Lord will bless us and use us, because he has us there for a reason. While it is our desire to develop into more of the spiritual side of the work over time, there is obviously still a lot of maintenance done on site, but we still do have plans to use the land that we have next door. Maybe it's for accommodation, maybe it's for training young men for the ministry, or maybe it's for other reasons, but we know that the Lord has helped us get the land usage so far. We're still planning to have ownership of that land, and we would just ask that you pray that all would work out according to the Lord's will.
Over the last 3 years, obviously a lot of things have changed for us, and we've gone through a lot of different things quite quickly. We moved out to the mission field very quickly after we got married, and it was a challenging time, but at the same time we've really seen that the Lord is faithful and that he's very good, and that we have settled in so well. And now obviously there's a baby on the way, and we'll have to get used to that and settle in all over again, I would say, but we'll see how that goes, and we trust the Lord will help us with all of that as well.
I can't imagine going back to the field with a family. 3 years ago I went single, then I went back with Hannah, and now we're going back potentially with a baby, obviously in the Lord's will. Scary. I don't think it's even registered with me yet, even though it's only a few weeks away. But it's exciting times, and we're really looking forward to how that will all work out, even on the ground as well as here. says in Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build a house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain."